Good morning. We welcome you in the name of the Lord this morning, and as we had the time change last night, it's good to see you all here on time today. I neglected to announce it last week. Tonight we will be in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, the first seven verses. And another event coming up this week, Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the chapel, Chapel 111 in Hughesville. We are having a community hymn sing with some scripture reading and hymn singing. So all are welcome for that. This morning we are continuing that chapter of the first chapter of Ezekiel that we looked at last week. Last week was the likeness of the living creatures. And this morning we have the spirit in the wheels. Many times we get bogged down in the day-to-day events of everyday life, and we have our mood soured by the news and the daily routine that we experience. And we forget the glory of God. We forget the glory that is promised to His people for eternity in heaven. And from time to time, we need a view of what Ezekiel saw here in verses 15 to 28, the heavenly perspective, that which often reshaped the psalmist's mood when he brooded upon the apparent prosperity of the wicked. But he always came back to the realization that God is sovereign, and that in the eternal heavenly perspective, the justice of God will ultimately reconcile and remedy all the ills and the evils and the wrongs of this world. His vision of the glory of God here in this heavenly throne, and this vision of the Spirit in the wheels, outworking God's providence in everyday life, is a reminder to us that we need to sing more the glory of God. The hymn is 667, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done."
Greater will be our wonder, our transport.
in the midst of this vision of the Spirit in the wheels, the representation of the omnipotence and the omniscience of God. He hears a heavenly voice, the one who speaks from above the firmament, above the throne. And that, of course, is the voice of the Lord Jesus himself. He is the one who sits and reigns eternally on the throne of heaven. And it's to him that we give all the honor and glory and praise. The hymn is 714. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The hymn is 599.
The sun.
Thank you, Bob. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Ezekiel 1, verses 15 to 28.
Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads like was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bough that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glory, for all that you have accomplished, how you rule and reign over the affairs even of this fallen world, and how you have purpose to bring the Messiah, the Redeemer, to save us from our sins. We thank you for the glimpse of glory that you give us here in this view of heaven, and the reminder that you are sovereign, that you are in control, that you do all things well. And we pray that you would help us to show the reverence, even as Ezekiel fell upon his face. Help us to be humbled, to not rely upon our own strength, our own abilities, but to recognize that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And we pray that you would help us to be the ambassadors for your kingdom, the salt and light in this world that you've called us to be. And we pray that all that we would do in thought, word, and deed would be to the honor and to the glory of the one whose name is above every other name. For it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Before we turn to Ezekiel, this morning we commemorate a date in history. This is a memory of a man who was influential not only in the early colonization of this continent, but whose views regarding religious freedom had long-lasting impact. They shaped the thoughts of the framers of the Constitution, reminding them that our liberties, our freedoms are not given by man or by the governments of man, but that they are given to us by our Creator. And a man who, though he was rejected by the religious crowd in his day, he stood firm upon the conviction that the Lord Jesus Christ and not the governments of men is the head of the church. Roger Williams obtained his charter for Providence, Rhode Island on March 14th, the year 1643. Roger Williams had been ordained as a preacher in the Anglican Church. He had come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his study of Scripture convinced him that Jesus Christ and not the King of England is the head of the church. He thus felt the wrath of the religious establishment, and in 1631 he left England to pursue religious liberty in North America. He settled in Boston in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, but very quickly came under the wrath of the religious authorities, the state church of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Barely a generation passed the foundation upon which the Pilgrims built. Massachusetts Bay had deteriorated into a system of cold ritual and a mentality that it was the role of the civil government to enforce matters of religion. Roger Williams criticized that mentality. He criticized the concept that it was the civil government and not human conscience which should direct our faith and our belief. He objected to the colonial practice of not paying the Indians for the land which was purchased. He believed that they should be compensated for the sale of their land. And thus, he found himself expelled from Massachusetts Bay. He wandered in the cold for several months, but finally settled in Narragansett, Bay and what is now Rhode Island. He purchased land from the Indians and established a colony which he called Rhode Island. The surrounding colonies refused to cooperate with him, claiming that he did not have a charter from the king. But their real motive, their real reason was that they considered him an anarchist because he refused to accept their authority. So he sailed for England, and on March 14th, 1643, he obtained a charter from the British Crown. And this laid the foundation for what came to be the emphasis upon religious liberty that so influenced not just the colony of Rhode Island in those early years, but also had a shaping influence upon the U.S. Constitution. A realization that our liberties and our freedoms come not from man, not from civil government, but from God himself. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of his church. Thus we remember Roger Williams. The spirit in the wheels. Last week we looked at the vision of the likeness of the four living creatures. The representation of the cherubim or the seraphim that John describes in the book of Revelation. And here we have a continuation of that vision, but from a slightly different emphasis. And this too is prone to some rather sensational characterizations, some even extra-biblical assumptions that many read into this particular passage. But it is, like the earlier portion of the vision, a representation. It's a likeness. It is Old Testament typology and imagery, symbolism, portrayed in this vision, which relays to us a deeper spiritual reality. And thus, the spirit in the wheels. We read here in verse 15 that as he witnessed these living creatures, he also saw with each one a wheel on the earth. And most, even Jewish scholars, Jewish historians, regard this image of Ezekiel 1, verse 15, the wheels, as representative of the four corners of the throne of God. And this picture of the four wheels that are by the living creatures, we've seen how those living creatures were representative of God's sovereignty in the affairs of humankind. How even his angels, his ministering spirits, are directed to accomplish his will and his work in this world. And by each of those living creatures, those four-faced beings that we looked at last week, there was a wheel on the ground. Again, this is a solid reminder to us that God, though he resides far above in the heavens, nevertheless, his power, his authority extends even down to this earth. It is true that the devil is characterized as the prince of this world, the god of this age. But we must never forget that any authority, any power that Satan has is delegated to him. He is restricted in his ability. Even the scripture says that he is bound. And thus the ultimate authority, the supreme power, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who sits and reigns on the eternal throne of heaven. And this picture of the wheels sitting firmly upon the ground is a reminder to us that even the most mundane events, the daily routine, is firmly under his control. His sovereignty extends to the most insignificant of actions and events. And thus, we see in this picture of the Spirit in the wheels a glimpse of the glory of God. We read here that these wheels, those which sit by the four living creatures, were, as it were, a wheel in a wheel. And usually when we read this rather poetic description of what the prophet, the priest Ezekiel witnessed here, we think of that Negro spiritual way up in the middle of the air, the wheel in the wheel. And this has led to some various descriptions as to what is meant by this description that the wheel was as a wheel in a wheel. Some regard it as a little wheel inside of the big wheel. And a reminder to us that not only in the major events of history, but in the little details, the minutiae, the smallest and most insignificant of events are all firmly working together in the providence of God for the accomplishment of his purpose. And this should give us reassurance. It should give us comfort. It should give us joy in the midst of our trials and tribulations to know and to remember that God is in control. Others see this particularly in the further description of the operation, the movement of the wheel or the wheels, that this is a wheel which then has a perpendicular wheel within it. In other words, a spherical representation as something similar to a ball bearing that enables the wheels to move in any direction with ease. And as the description is that they went straight forward without turning this way or that, it's a reminder to us that God works out his purpose without interruption, without deviation. We oftentimes get off track. We oftentimes wander. The hymn says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." But this reminder that God is firmly directed to his course, unswerving, direct, uninterrupted. His purpose is not deterred. He cannot be thwarted by the powers of men or of demons. It is probably appropriate that this vision, this reminder of the glory of God, the power and the authority of the heavenly throne, is relayed to us by a priest and a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a Hebrew name which means the strength of God, or God strengthens. And this is so typical of many of the Old Testament names. The lives of the various individuals often reflected their character or an attribute of God that played out in their own lives. And thus, we see here in Ezekiel's vision the power the authority and the glory of God. The wheel in the wheel. The notion of a wheel being perpendicular to another wheel inside of itself is a physical impossibility in terms of our technology. But it is nevertheless a picture of God's power, God's ability to accomplish the supernatural, the ability to do what He purposes to do without the normal restrictions of the natural laws. For even as the Lord Himself was able to walk upon the water, defying the laws of gravity, or in His risen, glorified body, walking through walls. If we attempted to do that, we would fall flat on our face, and we would probably get a broken nose and often be bloodied in the process. But the Lord transcended the laws of the natural world which He Himself created. And this then is a picture of His power, His authority, His ability to accomplish His sovereign purpose. And wherever the wheels moved, they moved together. Again, a picture as we imagine in our mind's eye that heavenly throne seated upon the earth, moving here and there wherever it pleases, accomplishing the work of God and the purpose in the providence of His will. The four living creatures and the wheels which accompanied them moved in unison. They moved in harmony. They moved in complete agreement, accomplishing a singular purpose. And as they moved, whether they were in the events here on earth, or whether they moved up into the air, whether their actions and their accomplishments were seen even in the heavenly perspective, they all moved together. They were of a unified purpose. We read here that they were the color of beryl. And this was a gem. And though the beryl was often of different colors, the primary color that it represents is emerald green. Emerald green is the picture that John saw in his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation. That greenish color which surrounded the throne of God. And this, some scientists say, is a picture of serenity, a picture of peacefulness, a light which is not only soothing to the eye, but also soothing to the mind. And as we recognize the movement of the wheels, for the Christian, it ought to bring that soothing, comforting notion and remembrance that God is in control. We often sing that hymn, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. We're told that He notices all the tears that we shed. He notices all the trials and all the troubles that we endure. But as He was tempted in every way, such as we, yet without sin, He also promises us an avenue of escape. He promises that we too shall persevere, that He will finish that work which He has begun in us. And therefore, in whatever sorrow, in whatever pain, in whatever discomfort, in whatever persecution, in whatever calamity that we experience, we must remember with a peaceful contentment that God is in control. We read here in two different verses that the Spirit was in the wheels. And this is a reminder to us, even as the Holy Spirit of God was pictured as directing and controlling the activity of the living creatures in the earlier section of this chapter. So too, even in the events of history, the Spirit is in the wheels. We're told here that the wheels, the rims of the wheels were so high that they were terrible. They were awesome. And this is a remembrance of the absolute power, the omnipotence of God. As He works His mighty miracles, His supernatural demonstration of His power and His authority, we are humbled. We recognize that He is the absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But on the rims of these wheels, it also says that they were filled with eyes. And the eyes represent the all-seeing, all-knowing omniscience of God Himself. John, in Revelation 4, verse 6, speaks of how even the living creatures themselves were filled with eyes. And this, too, was a representation of the omniscience, the all-seeing nature of God who never sleeps and never slumbers. But the eyes existed on all sides and all aspects of the wheel. And from any position on the wheel, whether it was at the top of the rim or whether the wheel cycled around and it ended up on the bottom, the eyes of the Lord were still operational. It's a reminder to us that whether we are in the heights of happiness or whether we are in the depths of despair, God sees our circumstance. He is aware of our trouble. He's aware of our blessing. He's aware of all of the ranges of emotion that we feel, the experiences that we endure. And He knows all. He knows not just the outward deeds that we do, but He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He was able to say to the self-righteous Pharisees, those who appeared to be the religious crowd, He called them vipers and hypocrites because He knew that their hearts were at enmity with God. And He measures our motives as well. He knows whether we are seeking to perpetrate a fraud by appearing to be good little boys and girls, or whether we are truly submissive to His will. And we are reminded throughout Scripture that His blessing is upon those who seek and do His will, not those who pursue our own ways and our own wills. These wheels moved in unison. And we see here again a representation of the living creatures. Above the heads of the living creatures, we see what is pictured here as a firmament. A firmament which was the expanse of the heaven, which was pictured as a glassy sea in the book of Revelation. John sees this firmament as a vast expanse of crystal clear transparency. Again, a reminder of the majesty of God, but also the fact that all that occurs is beneath His watchful eye. It cannot be clouded. Oftentimes we have difficulty navigating planes in heavy cloud cover, or we recognize the difficulties of navigation or even movement in total darkness. But God is not hindered by such natural limitations. He is knowledgeable and observant of all things, in all circumstances, in all conditions, in the highest height or the deepest depth. He is aware. And thus this picture of the transparent firmament which existed above the heads of the living creatures, but beneath the watchful eye of God. It's a reminder to us that all of creation has been established to demonstrate the glory of God. The psalmist says that the heavens declare His majesty, and they show forth His handiwork. These eyes in the wheels themselves in their awesome size and their power and their movement, the way in which they work together to accomplish the purpose of God, are all illustrative of the glory of God. We read here again of the living creatures and their wings. They connect one to another on all four sides, all four faces of the living creatures. And the wings that, as we saw last time, the pair of wings that extended upward in praise and in glory to God, and those that went downward, covering the bodies of the living creatures. And we see that when they stood still, the wings went down to their sides. But even in that, he hears here the sound of mighty waters. As he heard the movement of these wings and the movement of these wheels, he hears, as it were, the sound of mighty waters, a heavenly voice. John recognized that same voice in Revelation 1:15, where he speaks of the voice of the risen Lord. In Revelation 14:2, he describes that same voice as the voice of God. And in Revelation 19, verse 6, he describes it as the voice as a thunderous sound of a multitude of a mighty host. A heavenly sign of God's authority, a sign of God's power. And here, then, we see the heart of the vision. The throne of God. For above that firmament, he saw a likeness of a throne. The likeness of a sapphire. We have here in this passage four different colors that are displayed. We saw the beryl of the wheels. We saw the transparent clearness of the firmament. And here we have the blue, the color of the sapphire that represents the majesty and the glory of the heavenly throne. It is that throne which is above the wheels. Above the events that are occurring here on the earth, it's a reminder to us that God not only sees all things that occur here in this world, but that He is in control of them. He is above them. He's over them. He's higher than them, even as Isaiah reflects that His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And this too is reflected here in this vision of the sapphire throne. A throne of immense size and scope. And the sapphire illustrates the splendor, the majesty, the glory that is reflected by that throne. It's a reminder to us that there is a God who rules and reigns over all. It is a God who is not like the gods which man creates to satisfy his own whims and his own superstitions. This is a sovereign, eternal, almighty God who knows all things. And here in this passage, in the likeness of that throne, that eternal throne, the heavenly throne, the eternal throne of David. We see here a further glimpse of the glory of God. We read here that he saw a likeness of a man sitting atop and upon the throne. A likeness of a man. This is the prophet's way of describing in human terminology that glimpse of glory that he witnessed. The Bible tells us that no man shall see God and live. And what he pictures here is the likeness of a man. And as he describes it further, it's a color of amber, that brownish, goldish color, which some also describe as a fiery brightness of hot metal. It was a likeness of man, reminding us that God created man in his own image. He created us a little lower than the angels. And yet, the likeness that is represented here is far more glorious than a mere human being. It is a reminder to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who took upon himself flesh and raised from the dead and received the glorified body. But this one who sits on the throne is beyond our mere mortal ability to describe. We cannot understand in its completion the glory that surrounds our Savior until we see Him face to face. And Ezekiel describes the likeness of the one who sits on the throne in the best way in which he possibly could. But a likeness of a man, remembering that God is concerned with the affairs of humankind. He knows our weakness, and yet he has chosen to redeem us, to justify us, and he sanctifies us despite our ongoing failures and our failings and our shortcomings. He is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins, and he will ultimately cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will finish that work which he has begun in us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Again, in the terminology of John in the book of Revelation, he's the beginning and the end. He is the one who has accomplished our salvation even before the foundation of the world. He brought it to pass in the daily experience of our lives, and he will guarantee that eternal presence with him forever in glory. Ezekiel is overcome by that majesty, the glory that he sees here in this vision. He hears the voice from above the throne. Even as we hear the voice of God in the revelation of his word, the convicting power, the awesome presence and the glory of God overcame Ezekiel, and he fell flat on his face. We see that reaction throughout the scripture wherever there was a divine encounter between the servants of God and that heavenly king. When Joshua was confronted with the captain of the hosts of the Lord, he fell flat on his face, and yet he was told, "Fear not." We too are reminded that we must not tremble in fear, but we are invited to go boldly before his heavenly throne of grace, to express our petitions and our needs. And he delights to hear the prayers of his children. He commands us to pray continually. He desires that we approach him even as Abba Father. And thus, Ezekiel heard the voice of God. He heard the authoritative voice of the heavenly power. And he listened as he spake. We need to listen to the word of God. We need to be mindful of our inability in and of ourselves to do that which it calls us to do. But to remember that he is sovereign, that the God of heaven oversees all that we encounter, that he's accomplishing his purpose through our daily lives. He's sanctifying us. He's separating us. He's setting us apart for the glory of the Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And thus, we need to be mindful that we are in his service. We are his ambassadors for his kingdom. We are not to promote ourselves. We're not to congratulate ourselves for anything that we accomplish. We are to do all things in the Spirit, even as the Spirit was in the wheels. It's a reminder to us that the Spirit must direct all that we do and say and think. But as the Spirit was unified in the operation of the four wheels, reminding us that they represented the throne of God on this earth, the power of God worked out through his creation, we must also then be reminded that he is in control of the lives of his people. We must be directed by his Spirit. We must be cooperative in the accomplishment of his work. We must submit to his will, and we must do all for his honor and glory. I think we'll sing this last one a cappella. All hail the power of Jesus' name. This is the vision of Ezekiel displayed the power and the glory of God. The hymn is 218.
Majesty ascribe and crown.
This vision reflects the glory of God, the power of God. And this likeness of the one who sat on the throne is described as a brightness, a glorious light. The Shekinah glory that represented the manifestation of God throughout the Old Testament in the journeys of the children of Israel through the wilderness and also in the place of worship, in the tabernacle and in the temple. But the glory, the brightness, the majesty of God is reflected here in this vision of heaven, this vision of the sovereign power of God that Ezekiel experienced. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.